Welcome to the DDT Archives Indie Lounge. My name is Chris. With me is always my co-host, Greg. How you doing, Greg?
What's up, man?
I am incredibly excited today. We have Mr. All Day, Will All Day. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. You know, we want to jump right into it. So, doing our homework on you, you were a walk-on at Rice University playing football. Tell us a little bit about how the experience of a walk-on prepared you to become a professional wrestler.
Man, it's kind of been my whole path since I was little, is the whole like walk-on mentality. It's like you just got to kind of work your ass off and really show that you belong there and you're worth it. And that's kind of how me being like a smaller person my whole life, I've had to just look at sports in general. I've always had to prove that, you know, I should be in that spot that I want to be in. I should be in that top spot on every single team. Because, you know, as a smaller guy, you don't really get picked first in kickball, right? Like, it's always fighting up. And a lot of times, you know, like I said, I'm not fighting to show I belong. I'm fighting to show that I belong at the top. And that's what I try to do here in wrestling, at Rice for football, in every sport I've really been a part of. So it's, since I was little, I've been, you know, I've been ready. I've had this mentality of I'm just going to show you, you know, exactly what you're missing. And I'm going to outwork every single person next to me. And I'm going to show you that you made the wrong decision in picking that guy first.
And it shows in your performance. Cause you know, because on TV, you know, you may call yourself a small guy. You don't perform like one. And I watched your hype video that you tweeted out a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to run through a wall after watching that, man. Like, it was like I got fired up.
Good. Like, good. That's the point.
I know. It's like, I was like, damn. I was like, geez. I was thinking, like, go for a run or punch a wall. I don't know what to do. So what was
just a little taste, my friend.
I know. But what was, how did that come about? Was it just like, oh man, it's, you know, quarantine life. I just get something done. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've really tried to stay away from that type of stuff just because I think it's pretty generic and,
yeah,
you know, like anybody can do moves. So like, you know, you're just taking all shots of your best stuff. But I actually had like a couple promotions request that specifically. So I was like, well, all right, I guess I'll get one made. I'd rather it be more like cinematic. I'd rather show a lot more like movie type things within the, like, a hype video, but they specifically requested this. So I was like, well, let's see what I got. And I just took like a handful of stuff that I usually do in like every match and just kind of hyped it up. And the song that's on it is actually like my theme song that I had made for me that gets me pumped up going to the ring. I used to go to the ring to Kanye West's All Day song. And while it's cool that it says like All Day 100 times in it, it's not really anything that gets me pumped up. It's not kind of my vibe or style. So I got something made that would make me want to run through a wall, that would get me amped up running through that curtain, standing there looking at the crowd. And, you know, I'm pretty excited because it's opened some doors, and it's just cool to kind of like sit back. Like, I'm 2 years in now and just look at kind of some of the stuff that I've done and how I've progressed, like with the moves, with the look, with everything. So it's pretty cool, man.
No, it is. And I suggest, you know, any of our listeners that haven't seen it, check that out, because it's a fun watch.
So you just mentioned you're only 2 years into the business, and watching your work, it does not come off that way at all.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
You know, so tell us a little bit about your training under Booker T at Reality of Wrestling and how that kind of helped fast track you to where you are today.
Well, anytime you get to sit under the learning tree of like a two-time Hall of Famer, a guy who's been like not just a star, but a superstar, and he's six-time world champ, it's I'm blessed that he happened to be in the same city that I am. I just, you know, thank God that that God's looking out for me. I have somebody right here in my backyard. So I went down there. I already had the athletic background, so the in-ring stuff wasn't really tough for me. But, like, that's just part of it. Like I said before, anybody can do the moves. So it's him that I go to after I've learned, like, all the techniques and whatnot that really puts together, like, psychology and, like, little nuances and transitions and just so many things that you don't think about it because I'm new and I don't know all the little, like, secrets of pro wrestling. And it's really cool to hear him say something. And then when you're in there, whether it be like training or for a match, and that light bulb just clicks, it's a cool feeling, like, just having that revelation, just being like, oh, that's what he was talking about. And it's always little kernels, right? Everybody can tell you, like, the big things, like, you need the it factor, you need the charisma, you need to do this here, you need to have a shine, cut off, heat, finish. And that's not what he teaches there. He has guys under him that help bring you to that level, and he really, like, fine tunes you. And he's the guy who, like, if he sees something in you, he's going to take a little extra time with you. And if he sees that you want it, he's going to take even more time. And it's cool to have somebody like that in my corner backing me. If I ever have a question, I can just call him up and, you know, get the answer, because he really has the answer to everything within this business.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to be at his Hall of Fame induction, the first one. We were at Madison Square Garden at before WrestleMania 29, and just, you know, to see him perform for all our lives, and, like, then to see him, just watch him speak as for, you know, his speech, it was powerful. So having that, you know, it's very cool to have that, you know, one-on-one kind of soundboard. So you talk about you're from Houston, right?
Yes.
So, you know, okay, we're an old school podcast, but we're young, you know, you're a younger guy. So, you know, Houston was such a hotbed for wrestling back in the day. Is how big is that history, you know, when it comes to you or your background? Like, does it resonate at all?
I wouldn't say so much Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Texas,
though. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Texas, yes. But Houston, not more than any other city. Okay. Here in Texas. It's more Texas as a whole.
Okay.
Yeah. But you do have that kind of, like, hometown, like, you want to cheer for the hometown hero, and, mm-hmm, like, knowing Booker T's from Houston, it's, mm-hmm, you know, before you're even thinking about getting in the business or even know anything about the business, you automatically cheer for somebody from your hometown. So you have that aspect of it, right?
Yeah. Like,
and that's essentially it. But there's not, like, a huge, mm-hmm, like, there's not, like, a massive following in Houston here for, mm-hmm, wrestling specifically. It's a big sports town, so I think that takes up a lot of people's, like, bandwidth, really.
Makes sense. We're, you know, we're New Yorkers. We get that.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah, exactly.
There's so much going on that, yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's the same as it is here.
Yeah.
You talked about how easy the transition was athletically. What was the most challenging part of your initial training in professional wrestling?
I want to say it's, like, kind of like checking your ego at the door, being like an athlete or being an athletic person, you could say that, but I've kind of been led, like, my whole life, you gotta eat some crap for every single team you join or start with, right? You gotta start from the bottom everywhere. So it wasn't too bad. It's just, you know, in sports, your coaches are twice your age usually, and a lot of these guys that are wrestling are, like, younger than me that have been wrestling for a little bit. And so having to kind of sir, yes, sir, to a, you know, to younger people is probably the toughest thing, but you learn little lessons. I've never really had an authority figure like that in my life so far. So I mean, that's about it. To be honest, like, it was everything I thought it was going to be. It was no more, no less. Like, I had done my research before I actually jumped in, and when I jumped in, it was exactly what I expected. So there weren't really any things that stood out to me as, you know, like a massive, massive obstacle.
How does fan reaction play into your performance?
Huge. Because if you know you have the fans on your side, whether that be, you know, them cheering for you or booing you, doing your job either way, it's such an ego boost, really. It gives you that confidence to kind of do, like, you can feel like you can do no wrong, really. So you're out there and you have confidence to try new things or be a little more over the top or go for something you normally wouldn't go for if you know you have the fans on your side. I think, honestly, probably the scariest feeling I've had was, like, in the beginning of my career when you don't know if you're going to get any reaction. And that is like, terrifying, because you're going out there putting, like, your face, your voice, your personality out there on the line. And if you get no reaction, what does that say about you? It says, hey, you're not doing your job. Like, go back, fix something, come back. And if you know you have them on your side, it's like, it just gives you this strength. It just gives you, like, this jolt of energy that, like, you feel like you can do anything.
That's, I mean, to me, I was a college football coach for a few years, and that experience with interacting with fans there, you know, made me feel in a similar way. So I can only imagine when the spotlight is solely on you,
right?
How incredible that must feel.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you feel like a gladiator, right? You're there to do your job in the ring, like, with the physicality and the moves and all that, but you're also there to entertain the crowd, like, when you're not doing this stuff. And so that big adrenaline rush that you get with everybody making that noise for you, like I said, either as a good guy or bad guy, is so exhilarating that there's no feeling really like it. It's like, you feel like you're invincible.
Does it ever get you down? I know, you know, with, like, the fan interactions in the age of social media and how harsh it can be out there. Does that affect you at all? Or you just kind of worry about the live crowds?
I don't know. Fortunately, I haven't really had to run into much bad interaction yet.
Good.
I mean, obviously, the bigger you get. Yeah, thank God. Right, but it's just statistics. The bigger you get, you know, the more people that you're going to have that either don't like you or, you know, whatever it may be. So I've been lucky enough that I haven't really had to encounter that much. But I mean, that it's just like people talking in high school, right? Like, who gives a? I don't know if you guys are in.
Yeah, we're fine.
You can curse. You're good.
You're fine.
Yeah. Like, really, like, if you're, this goes down to you having that self-confidence, right? It goes down to you believing in who you are as a person. And if you are completely 100% confident as a person or as a performer, then who gives a shit what the dude sitting three tables behind you thinks about you, right? Or the guy paying to get in to watch you. Like, at the end of the day, you want to do your job, and if the majority of people are responding the way you want them to respond, you're doing your job. So it's just about keeping a cool head and keeping your confidence, and I haven't had a problem with that so far.
Good. Well, hopefully, you know, you get big enough where you may have to face it, but, like, you know what, man, like, it's great that just having that mindset, you know, it's admirable to hear you answer it like that. I've asked, like, everybody on the show about that, because I'm just fascinated by fan culture and how nuts it is. So it's
right,
you know, it's so funny to me, and I just, you know, and hearing, like, you can always just, you can tell that you're at least your head's in the right place, and that's all that really matters.
Right. And you have to. Yeah. You have to be successful really at anything. Right. If you're going to, and especially in, like, a performance arts/sports entertainment type type profession, if I don't believe in who I am, how the hell is the guy watching me supposed to believe in who I am? So that's how I look at it. And you can't get caught up in, you know, thinking that people are going to think that's not a character you're portraying yourself. You got to be 100% in. This is your character. This is sometimes you have to be, that has to be you in there for people to believe it. And a lot of people, you know, they don't have that confidence yet. And then when they do get it, you can see such a change in their performance, doing everything. And they're so much like broader. They're bringing their charisma. Finally, their voice is a little bit louder. They stand a little taller. And it's cool to see people make that transition.
Absolutely.
Another Texas wrestler, you know, good old Stone Cold, always mentioned that, you know, the best gimmicks and personas are when they're who you are times 10.
Right.
How did you come up with your persona, and how close to real life is it?
I think it's pretty close. It's pretty close because I'm not like a super outlandish character or anything. I just like, I look at the Will Alder the wrestler as like a rock star. And I don't mean that in like he plays like music, because obviously he doesn't. He kicks ass and he takes names, and he's very intense. He's very confident. He's very in your face. He's very sarcastic. It's a lot of who I am, and it's again me just bringing that confidence, like the uber confidence, into the character to where you feel again like you can do no wrong. A lot of the stuff I do as a babyface character, I do a lot of the same. I'm pretty much the same person as a babyface or a heel. I just maybe throw a cuss word or two in there if I'm a bad guy. Maybe I talk to the crowd a little bit more as a bad guy, but honestly, it's pretty close to the same person, because like you said, it's your real personality turned up times 10. And I think I would be doing a disservice as a performer if I wasn't putting myself out there into this character. And it, like I said, it's everything that I am as a person. I'm sick and tired of being that guy being picked ahead of me. That's bullshit. I should be picked number one.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. And so it's me just amping it up and amping it up and amping it up.
You know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, like I said at the top, and, you know, I'm going to kiss your ass a little bit, not just because you took the time out to speak to us, but because I truly believe, and I'm just being honest. It's like, you know, within, you know, doing the prep for our interview today, you know, brushing up on your career a little bit, you literally, and not just moves wise, you jump off the screen, dude. And it's like, that's the beauty of it, because it's nothing over the top. It's nothing. It's like, and I always found it as, you know, watching wrestling for 30, I'm 38 years old, watching wrestling for 30 years. It's the simplest, you know, personas that go the farthest. And you definitely bring that to the table, because it's just like it's easy to understand. There's no bullshit. And it's just, and you just come out and you just go. And it's like, I was hooked right away, man. I'm just being honest here.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate that. That is the type of like reassurance that helps build performers' confidence. Is like, if you can see what we're trying to do, that means we're doing our job. That means it's working. That it gives us like such satisfaction to hear that. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have you gotten any, you know, in the feedback along the way, have you gotten any comparisons to any wrestlers? And if so, has that bugged you?
So like very early in my career, I got compared to like AJ Styles a lot. And I would always ask why. Okay. Why? And they're like, oh, well, you kind of look like him. And I'm like, that's kind of, I don't think so. That's kind of a cop out. And then I would say, why? Well, you just kind of look like him. You remind me of him. So then from there in the beginning, I I was wearing like a vest that matched my tights. I lost that. Now I have like a metallic silver leather jacket that I wear. So I'm like, okay, let's do anything I can to not look like AJ Styles. So I changed up my hair a little bit. I grew like a different beard. I stopped wearing kick pads. Now I wear boots. So that is probably the most frustrating thing ever, because even when I'm trying to specifically not like look like somebody, you still get those comparisons. And then after a while, I was like, man, what am I chasing? Like, I'm going to do what I think looks good, think sounds good, think, you know, feels good. And from there, I really stopped getting it. I can't even tell you when it was or what it was, but that's, and then I've gotten like Shawn Michaels like a couple times, but I don't know. Everybody does a super kick, so I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. Who knows?
Well, to be fair, like there's a lot worse that you could get grouped in with.
Yeah. No. I'm not mad about.
Yeah.
Like if they think I remind them as a performer, that's awesome. Like I love that. I love that. But I don't ever want to. I don't want my action figure to look like anybody else's action figure. So that's how I look at it, right? If I'm going to sell action figures, then I need to be unique. I need the kids to point at and say, ooh, I want that one. So that's kind of like my mindset when it comes to looks. And that's really the only thing that irks me.
So I'm going to kind of build off that. And so I've watched a bunch of your matches and enjoyed every single one of them. And your moveset is nothing like AJ Styles at all. So anybody that's saying that has zero legitimate wrestling knowledge or experience watching.
Like I said, it hasn't been in a long time, but that is exactly my argument every time that ever came up. And I was like, what? That's why I always ask why. Why do you say that? If you said anything about like in-ring stuff, in-ring movement, moves, whatever, then fine. Like I don't care about that. But that was always my response to that comparison. Well, and don't get me wrong, he is my favorite wrestler. So like it even goes like right there
subconsciously.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that to the person. I don't want to say, well, he's my favorite wrestler. So it pisses me off even more because now I can't say that specifically for that. But thank God, it hasn't been in a while that anybody's ever said that. So I feel we're finally graduating.
Good.
You know, just listening to you talk, there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to be uber successful in professional wrestling. Like we've only done interviews for a short period of time, but we've talked to a bunch of young wrestlers years 2 and 3, and they're talking about just getting booked. You're talking about action figures. Your eyes are on the prize.
Yeah. You have to have that mindset. Like you have to have little goals, but those little goals need to be in the direction of your bigger goals, and those bigger goals need to be in the direction of your main goal. And so if you're taking these little goals that are taking you off that path, you're just taking longer to get where you actually want to get. And so from the beginning, I've said, hey, I don't got a lot of time to do this. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it right the first way, and I'm just going to go. And so I've been trying to rush and bust my ass and just try to get to the, you know, like just get on that path, stay on the path that I want to be on. And I think me getting into the business not at 18 years old has helped me tremendously, because I had to grow up a little bit and figure out the real world and know that it sucks to do something that you don't enjoy. So that I attribute, like, you know, my faster rise than normal to that, really, just getting out there and experiencing the world.
Like that maturity level is such an advantage, you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it can put you on the straight and narrow. Like you really put things into perspective once you kind of flush out all the BS. And you know, sometimes you don't do that till you're 18. Sometimes you don't do that till you're 26. Everybody goes through life differently and has different experiences at different ages. And so I was just lucky enough to realize that I hate my job. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. This is not meant for me. So I jumped into what I do want to do. And I've never been happier than these like couple years I've actually been performing. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's funny, 'cause like I'm a, like my regular real life job is, I'm a restaurant manager, and I always tell my staff, like, you know, like I have a lot of high school kids. I manage for Panera Bread, so like I have a lot of high school kids that work for me and everything like that. And I'm like I'm everybody's big brother, and it's like I always tell them, like, don't do anything till you're 30, like just live, like don't get married, don't settle, no, don't do anything, because you're gonna realize as you get older that like. Like, A, you're going to have regrets, and B, you're going to be like, man, I wasn't ready for this at all, you know? And it's and so that like, it's refreshing to hear you have that, that mindset to it. If I could share with you another story, like going back to your action figure, Chris and I both have our own action figure. Remember this, buddy?
Oh, that's awesome.
Because Chris's brother back in the day was a wrestler. And when he got married, our groomsmen presents, he made action figures of all of us. So,
oh, that's so cool.
It was very cool. And like mine was hilarious, because at the time I had a goatee, and I'm convinced they used like Joey Fatone from NSYNC's head on the doll. Like that was the head for the doll. But it's still like it is still like, you know, they've been married like coming up on like 11 years this year, and or 10 years this year. And like it's still one of my prized possessions of my life. Like, I love that thing.
Yeah, how cool is that, just to look down and be like, dude, this is me.
That's me. Yeah, it is. It's freaking dope.
It is awesome, except when your wife tells you it has to stay in the box that's labeled Things My Wife Hates.
It's way before her time. That's because she wasn't around then. It's way before her time.
Now, what I will say is she's always supported my football habit and always supported my wrestling habit. So, therefore, she really can't do any wrong.
She's a winner.
I did. We were actually just talking about that before. That's the first thing Greg said to me when he met her. He pulled me aside and goes, listen, you're an idiot if you ever let this one get away.
Well,
my parents have already flat out told me if anything happens that they're taking her and not me.
We have a very tight knit crew in our inner circle, and I was the first one of his friends or family to meet her, and I was like, dude, if you screw this up, I'll kill you myself. Don't, like, you hang on to her.
Yeah. But, oh, that's awesome. That's really cool, man. I'm waiting.
Don't do anything till you're 30.
Hey, yeah. Dude, I was 35 when I got married, so take your time.
Prime age.
It was exactly prime.
Exactly. You enjoy the party a little bit more as you're older.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's dive back into wrestling a little bit. You had a real unique experience being able to work with Reality of Wrestling and Impact Wrestling combined for Deep Impact. What was that like?
It was cool. It was cool to have two rosters under one building. It was, they brought everybody on their roster. We had everybody on our roster, and it was kind of like a Raw versus SmackDown type thing, to where we were all pitting Reality of Wrestling against Impact Wrestling. And I had wrestled with a few of those guys there before at different shows. I'd been on a handful of the same shows together, so it was cool kind of seeing this like big company that, you know, people watch all around the world, and maybe like I watched a little bit when I was a little younger, come into my home building and, you know, feel like we belong, feel like, yeah, like this is a war because we're just as good. And so that's kind of our mentality going into that, is just like, Let's show these motherfuckers that we're here to play. We're not here to like mess around. So it was cool. It was cool to see kind of where everybody matched up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the other unique experience you have, is it true Vince McMahon wanted you to come out in Houston as Steph Curry?
Yes, he did. He sure did. But we changed it to James Harden, and I think it got the boo. It got the boo anyway. He was convinced if I was James Harden, they were going to cheer me, and that was not the case. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And that was, 6 months into my career doing that.
That's baffling.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I mean, it's all by chance, really. Yeah. If, you know, if you're working as an extra, really, but still is a cool, very, very cool experience. And reality wrestling really helps prepare me for that because it's just like a mini Monday Night Raw. They go through all the same procedures. You get there at call time, you eat your food, you wait for your producer meeting, and you go over your segments and matches, and then you get ready for the show. And so since I had done that, I guess at this time I had only really done it 5 times beforehand. But still, like, being at Reality Wrestling, I was prepared. There were butterflies, but they were excited butterflies. There were no nerves, really. It was pure excitement because it was my hometown, Monday Night Raw, like the thing I want to do more than anything, in front of people I know. And it was I was just so excited to get out there and do it. And I didn't even think about, like, I don't know, I didn't have time for nerves, man. I was just like, this is what I was born to do. This is like, I can't believe I waited so long to actually like jump in to do this. And it was just a cool experience.
Do you find that, you know, in your adventures around the country and working in several places, with Reality of Wrestling being such a one of the more well-known schools in the country, do you find that there's a little bit of added pressure when performing, that you got to uphold that moniker?
Yeah, absolutely. And book doesn't let you get out of that school without knowing that you're not going to embarrass him either. So don't think he's a fool. He's not going to slap his name on you and you just be some trash bagger that doesn't know how to freaking work. He's going to make sure that everybody that's got his name on him is worth a shit. And I think that's good pressure,
yeah,
to have, because for me anyway, I'm a perfectionist. And so that's nothing to me. Nobody's going to be a harsher critic than I am, but it's going to help push some of these other people who may not be the same mentality that I am to be more explosive or more athletic or louder, more charismatic. It's going to push them to be one of the top guys on that card that they're on that night, because they are trained by Booker T. They did go to Reality Wrestling. And so it's cool. It's a cool, good pressure to have.
And so when, like, the guys that, like, your other, you know, I guess, coworkers coming out of that camp, is that a way of you guys pushing each other, you know, when you're off doing your thing, you know, to know that you always have that, like, that badge of honor?
Yeah, absolutely. You're always going to build camaraderie doing stuff like that. And, you know, we try as much as we can to travel together. I've always been of this mindset too. Like, you should help people that need help or want help. And so we are a team, we're a school, we're a promotion that is always constantly trying to better each other, whether that be in the ring or out of the ring. And so it's cool to see, for the most part, you have guys that are like good people on top of good performers, on top of good teammates, on top of good leaders. So it's a gang of good-hearted people, and I think really that's the best place to be.
Well, we appreciate you helping us as we try to carve our little space into the world of the Dime a Dozen Wrestling Podcast. So you helping us out, we really appreciate that, man, because it's tough out there, but you know, just, you know, you giving your time to guys like us is just, it's humbling. It's nice.
No, I know. I really appreciate you guys reaching out, and I really appreciate you guys having me on. I've had fun with you guys for the past however long we have been. It's been good.
Thank you.
So I kind of want to wind down a little bit with this kind of question. What are the best lessons you've learned either in the locker room or on the road, just from talking to people?
Oh man, here's like a little conundrum. So I don't even know how to say this. There are contradictory things that I've heard, but they both give you good advice, and that's you need to be a good teammate. You need to do your job, you know, when your number's called, and you need to, if this is your role on this show, you need to perform your role, and you need to perform it to the best of your abilities, and you don't have to be happy or satisfied with the role, but you need to do your job. You need to help this other guy get over or go be a part of this segment. You need to know that it's a puzzle. You're one piece of this puzzle, and it can't be done without everybody else. And I think that's really good advice, because you need to know at different companies, you're going to be put in different spots. You're going to be on different levels. You're going to be the curtain jerker. Maybe you're the job guy, maybe you're the mid-carder, maybe your main event, but you need to know how to really handle every single one of those and be able to pull the best out of whoever you're in the ring with. On the flip side of that, I've also heard, you know, if you want to really get to the top, on top of that, you do all that, but you have to also know your value. You have to know when to say, no, I don't think that's right. You know, can we do something else? You have to know that if you're being taken advantage of, or they're putting you in a wrong spot, then you need to know when to say something as well. So it's, you don't really know exactly when that is until you've experienced stuff like that. And Booker always says, you know, if you are 100% right about something, then you say something, then you stand up for yourself. And if you get fired, you can get fired knowing that you're in the right, and there is no doubt in your mind that you did the right thing. If you're 99% or 99.9% sure, then don't say a damn thing, because you still have doubt in your mind. How are you going to convince somebody else if you have doubt in your mind? So, you know, those are some lessons that I've learned, and really that I like take to heart. And I try to put those into effect even before I ever take a booking. So, you know, I'm constantly analyzing and looking at things like that.
Well, I know on our end, we cannot thank you enough, Will. This has been awesome, you know, just talking to you and feeling your energy and knowing that your drive is going to make you successful. It's really cool guys. For us to kind of join in on your journey so early on, because I have no doubt at some point you're going to be performing on my TV on Monday nights or Friday nights or Wednesday night, or whatever
you want to do.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure to say. Why don't you plug your social media for us? Anything else you want to plug?
Not right now, man. I'm the same handle on all social media platforms. I'm at I am Mr. All Day. My name is Will All Day. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do it again here in the future.
Yeah, man. We can't wait to see you back in the ring very soon when all this nonsense stops out, and we'll be looking for you, and we'd love to have you back on when things get better.
Awesome. Awesome. I look forward to it, guys. And when I head up to the Northeast, I hope to see you guys out there.
We will definitely be there, my man.
We will definitely be out there.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys can follow us. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. You can follow Greg at DDT Archives. Make sure you download on iTunes, subscribe, and, you know, we're going to continue to give you the best that we can every time out, because if you're not looking to be the best, then there's no reason to be in this business.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Take care, guys.